For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Get ready to take notes, because school is now in session. Tackling the biggest issues in education, this is Education America. Save the classroom, save the country. Here are your hosts, Headmaster Rebecca Hagstrom and co-host Abigail Johnson.
Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone.
Welcome to Education America, where we're working to save the classroom so that we can save the country. K-12 education is the playing field where the battle is on for the future of our country. As the 16th President Abraham Lincoln succinctly stated, the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. Well, Abigail, we are having another great conversation that's a little bit out of the ordinary tonight.
It is. We like to think outside of the box.
Yeah, there we go.
So you're welcome, guests. You know, we'll see if you like it. No, just kidding. We have an incredible guest with us this evening. We have Latin teacher Lindsay Zweber with us this evening to chat a little bit about Latin, which I am sure many of you sit there going, why do I care?
Yeah, right. So, isn't that a dead language?
Yeah,
Lindsay, tell us why.
Yes.
It matters. It's not, it might be a dead language, but yet it lives on, doesn't it?
Exactly. I would love to talk about Latin. So, right. If it's a dead language, then why do we still talk about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We love to open that up for our students first, actually, and talk to the parents, too, about why in the world do we study Latin, and what purpose would that serve for the students? So mostly the parents are going to want to know the practical side of studying Latin, and there are many aspects to that. It's not just, oh, if you have a career in law or in the medical field, you'll understand implicitly a lot of the verbiage that's used and the phrases, because that's very common, but there's more to it. We find that students, as they move on from Latin, they're acquiring other languages very easily. I've been able to even sit in with our students after they leave Latin and move into taking Spanish. Specifically, I've been able to watch these, I mean, first-year Spanish kids doing things way ahead of their time. So the parents do like to hear about that side of it, but there's just a whole world to talk about with Latin language and how it serves students.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, I absolutely agree. And I will say, one of my favorite things as a first-year law student many years ago was coming home and showing off to my family that I was learning about in personam jurisdiction.
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Do you want to repeat that?
Oh, I was so that person.
Abigail.
It was so obnoxious. But I think when you've spent one whole semester in law school and you've just been kind of like crushed, yeah, it's really nice to come home and, you know, to other people feel smart
share
for a minute. Oh, yeah. And so I walked around dropping that little bomb over and over. And now I often think, boy, if I had known Latin, a large number of these terms would have made far more sense to me.
And what does that mean,
right,
by the way?
In personam jurisdiction? Yes. So it's in-person jurisdiction. So you have jurisdiction over the person.
That's one of those, mm-hmm, say, the Latin roots that kind of make sense. Where,
yes,
it sounds like the English word.
Yes. But yeah, it still smells. There's a term, sounds really good.
Isn't
though
there a term for that, Lindsay, when one of the words sounds like an English word?
Yeah, the derivative. So there are so many. I mean, half the English language is Latin-based, and a lot of it's Germanic, and then it's kind of a jumble of other things. But there are so many of those derivatives or root words that very young students are able to see when they learn the word in Latin, oh, wait, that sounds like, and they light up because they can make an instant connection to their first language in English. Oh, I've heard that, or that reminds me of. And oftentimes the students guessing like that gets them to the right answer. And that's where people love to brag about even SAT or other type of standardized testing scores for students who have had some Latin. They are able to pick apart some vocabulary that they've maybe never seen before on these exams, but they can relate it to the Latin root word and go, oh, I think that, you know, because this has this stem, it must mean with that or without this. And so it's amazing to see the crossover.
You know, that actually reminds me of the fact that one of the things I tell people about why we study Latin at Liberty is because it does have such a complexity about it. English language is word order dependent, whereas Latin is not. And maybe you could talk a little bit about the complexity of the language and how that plays out in terms of developing children's cognitive skills.
Absolutely. So in English, we have to say things in a certain order for it to make sense. And when someone doesn't, it sounds strange or maybe poetic. But
or maybe poetic.
Very
good.
In Latin, it's you can...
Or maybe like Yoda.
Jumble things up.
Sorry.
Right. It sounds like
there is no try, Rebecca.
I couldn't resist.
Okay, John, sorry, John, exactly. I'd like to mark down this is, I think, our first ever Star Wars reference on Education.
I couldn't resist.
And it wasn't by me.
Okay, go ahead, Lindsay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so it's the way that the words are structured, the word itself in Latin gives its meaning. So then when you switch the order in the sentence around, it'll still mean the same thing. Because the verb is the verb and the subject is the subject. And as you jumble that up, I actually think that maybe a relatable example would be in Spanish. You wouldn't say the green dress. You would say the dress green. You describe it after you state the noun. And that makes sense in Latin. And so the students are actually doing quite a bit of mental exercise to identify the words, and they're not just translating on the spot, they're reordering it into English in a way that will make sense. Because if you were to just straight translate Latin into English, you will sound like Yoda. And so you have to then make sense of it. And this is such an amazing translation skill, because this is how we acquire language. We have to make it make sense, not just in that language we're acquiring, but in our own first language as well. So it's a top-level skill, and the younger, the better. These kids are doing a great job with catching on to what's being inferred. They're putting things into context so that even if they don't understand an entire sentence the first time they hear it, they can identify, okay, what do I know? And then start to work their way toward figuring out the rest of it like a puzzle. And so it's really amazing. And yet that makes it sound like Latin is disorderly, and it's not. It is so beautifully structured, and it makes so much more sense than English.
Yeah.
So it's very rule abiding, and if there are any exceptions, there are rules to those exceptions, which is very nice. And so it's not just a jumble. And it's not, in its complexity, it's actually very organized.
Well, and maybe I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but I think it's important to note, most people know that Spanish has their declensions, right? But then, or conjugations, sorry. But Latin has both declensions and conjugations. Is that correct? And am I using the correct language, where it's like you're adding a prefix to a word and a suffix to a word, and that's where you get a lot of the meaning? So you could take like five English words and pack it into one if you've got the declension and the conjugation in some cases. Is that right?
Right. So the way that that's different, most people, if they have a foreign language, it might be Spanish, I would say, for our listeners. So so in Spanish, your nouns are only going to be masculine or feminine, and that's about as much as they're really going to change. Whereas in Latin, there is a whole table. I mean, think of it like applying a little code or something to the noun, that as you change the ending to the noun, it'll be either feminine, masculine, or neutral, neuter.
Mm-hmm.
And other endings can mean that it is just the noun as the subject, or it is to or for the noun, it is with the noun. I mean, so just by seeing a noun and its ending, you would understand what's being applied to it or how it's being used in the sentence, even down to part of speech.
Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. And that's, mm-hmm. I mean, that really proves your point about it is very organized. It is a very organized language. And I think it's, it also helps us understand how it is so good for a child in terms of developing their problem solving skills, their adaptation, their ability to just think. They're having to do the mental gymnastics, as you, I think that's the term you used, Lindsay. And I think it's really important that our listeners understand why is that so important. And it is because it is developing those deep thinking skills.
Right.
Were you going to say something else? I was going to move on to another topic, but I can hold there if you've got something else you want to say about that.
Well, I would love to say it plays into logic. And we are teaching our kids to be good communicators. We're teaching them to be good thinkers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the structure and all of the mapping that these students are doing in their heads or on paper while they're interacting with this language, it is very logical.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love how that really is helping them move towards a bigger picture of being a well-rounded person. And the structure is not for naught. You know, there's really good application for that.
That's a good point. And just for kind of context for our listeners, at Liberty Classical Academy, where Lindsay teaches, we teach Latin in grades 3 through 8, and they get their their logic class in 8th grade. So to your point, all of this does feed into their ability then to learn logic in the 8th grade and have it make more sense to them. So that's a great tie. I'm glad you brought that up. Another thing that we know about Latin is it does help students learn modern foreign languages much more easily. And because some people will say, well, okay, maybe I see the value of Latin, but I mean, do you teach modern foreign language too? And we do at our mm-hmm. school. Not all classical schools do, but we do. We teach Spanish and French at the high school level. And so Lindsay, how does this play into helping develop their skills to be able to learn a different and a more modern current foreign language?
Right. So it's easy, I think, to see how if Latin is the root, the base for all the Romance languages, you can see the connection. I guess anybody who has read the French on their shampoo bottle, you can kind of understand what the shampoo or the conditioner, the little lines on our products that are in other languages, you can sometimes piece that together just based on what you know in English or maybe if you've learned Spanish. And so imagine if you've spent 3rd through 8th grade, 6 years of Latin instruction, and now you switch gears, you're not doing all the foundational work again.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned Spanish first mm-hmm. and Latin second, and I didn't have to start from scratch at all. And in fact, it was tremendously intuitive to add another language. And it's not just the Romance languages, though, because you are, you mentioned part of speech or parts of speech, vocabulary, understanding your grammar. This is the essence of how many languages are taught. You have to have an understanding in grammar. And if you have really dug deep while learning another language, you're able to apply those rules, and you're not rebuilding the house every time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an amazing, I mean, it's that's why some people, once they realize how quickly you can acquire a third language, they're ready for the fourth. Because
oh,
you
love
can.
That.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's amazing.
It's
you know,
an easy ramp up.
Every once in a while, you run into people who know, you know, five languages or something. And I'm always enamored with them because for me, learning languages did not come easily. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have that much opportunity in our school. We weren't even given a foreign language, I don't think, until maybe eighth grade. And so by that time, you know, it's kind of late. Yep. Learning languages is easier at younger ages. We know that. And so, like you say, for us to lay the foundation in Latin from grades 3 through 8, we're setting the kids up for success in high school. And I didn't have that kind of opportunity. But I am always amazed by people who know multiple languages. So it's interesting that you point that out, that the foundation, you're not rebuilding. I like that line. You're not rebuilding the house every mm-hmm. single time you learn a new language. You're building on right. kind of the same foundation, and that's a really good point. So, Lindsay, you know, people are probably thinking, okay, I understand now why this might be important, but how in the world do you get third, fourth, and fifth graders interested in Latin? What do you do? And even middle schoolers.
Yes. So, I love foreign language, and so to me it's just – I get to share the joy with these kids. Like, it is so much fun. So we have to meet the kids where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Third grade, their first impression of Latin is very interactive. It's energetic. It is songs. And we're tapping into vocabulary that relates to their stage of life. So they're not learning about the vocab from Aeneas of Troy, right? They're
right.
learning vocab about food and clothing, the weather, animals, and things that we're in Christmas right now. They're learning all the nativity words in Latin, and this is fun. This is engaging mm-hmm. to them, and they pick up on it so mm-hmm. fast. These third graders, by fourth grade, they are able to get into grammar land a bit more, and we move with the developmental stage of the kid. Mm-hmm. And that's really important because acquiring language, our first language that we acquired started when we were infants,
mm-hmm.
and we move into the mimicking stage, and that's what we're doing with our third graders. Follow mm-hmm. after me, repeat mm-hmm. after me, mimic. And they will. They have no embarrassment, no shame, no, they're not looking at their neighbor. They
right.
they will sing along to anything at the top
that.
Of their lungs. And
that's awesome.
And so that it's great. So the interactive and fun, engaging material for them just gets them in love with it. They mm-hmm. they look forward to it. And then as they start to move into fourth, fifth, sixth, now they're working through translation. They're learning a lot more about ancient Rome and the culture. They start to learn more about the Roman family and what society looked like. And that's more interesting to them. They want to learn a bit about history by that age.
Mm-hmm.
And so we grow up with them in the curriculum. And by seventh and eighth, they are studying original texts. They're translating them, but they're also able to, it's really fun to watch that they can, their reading comprehension grows mm-hmm. so much, which is such a huge skill
mm-hmm.
that, okay, so you read this thing in Latin. Did you understand it? Or mm-hmm. were you just translating word for word one at a time? No, these kids are answering questions asked about the text in Latin, and they're responding in Latin. And they're able to pull from what they read and use that verbiage and really, really put it to the test. It's very amazing to see. So we do keep a strong foot in the door with the grammar all the way through. But as it goes from the younger being more vocal and auditory, they grow up into that middle school, finally with that capstone in eighth grade of being much more reading based.
Mm. That is just incredible that in six short years, really, mm-hmm. because I mean, Latin mm-hmm. is not, well, I guess it is every day first semester, but 3 days a week second semester, but still to accomplish that much in 6 years is really incredible, given it is a second language for these kids. And what a setup for them, as we've discussed, not only for future languages, but for being able to think deeply and logically and perform better on standardized testing, which, as you pointed out at the beginning of the show, that is a consistent finding, that students who have taken Latin do tend to perform better on not just vocab portions of standardized testing, but all portions of standardized mm-hmm. testing. And I think that's because of the critical thought that it takes to decipher.
Mm-hmm.
So you've talked about how you do it in an interesting way, which is so important. Let's talk a little bit about some of the results, not just in terms of what benefits these kids, but you give the National Latin, or we give the National Latin exam. And I have to say, Lindsay, last spring when you announced the awards, I was completely pleased and surprised at how many students won awards. And then again, right. as we talked about it, feeding into French and Spanish, how many French and Spanish students were winning national language awards as well. Mm. So it's really set our language program up for deep success for our students. Do you want to talk about that a little bit and what that entails?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so the National Latin Exam specifically it's from a classical institute. It is a standardized test, but it is a good one. It's great. And they have participants from all 50 states, as well as, I don't want to misquote it, but I think it was 100 other countries.
Wow.
Participating in this exam where... There are multiple different levels, and our students are taking, I believe, what is considered to be, so the intro to Latin exam can be given at any time, so mm-hmm. they may be going up against some high schoolers who are taking Latin for the first year,
mm-hmm.
and this covers everything from common phrases in Latin, word usage, like those noun endings that we mentioned,
mm-hmm.
where if you change the ending, does that mean something different, and then reading passages, reading comprehension, and translation. And the students, they surprise themselves, and that's the best part, is that they get so excited to see how well they performed on this exam that they just get to kind of relish in all their own hard work, and mm-hmm. and they perform above average. We had a student last year get a perfect score.
Unbelievable. I remember that. In fact, that's my assistant's son. that is so amazing. I think that's got to be the first time in the history of Liberty anyway that somebody received a perfect score. That's really phenomenal.
Well, and just from a practical aspect, as well, as we're kind of talking about these, because it's just so interesting to learn about Latin and all the different, you know, it sounds so theoretical. It sounds like, oh, this is something that people with lots of spare time do, you know. But you listen to this and you are listening to how it is building in the not only the cognitive skills, but these students are doing something that's very unique.
Mm-hmm.
Most schools are not teaching Latin. Most schools don't have extensive language programs. Mm-hmm. And so to hear that our students are doing so well, you know, just from a practical aspect, you know, as parents think forward, you know, these are the things that will set them apart when mm-hmm. you are looking at not only college applications, but entrance exam and mm-hmm. scholarship
mm-hmm.
Opportunities mm-hmm. for these students. To be frank, even great points to set them apart from other candidates, you know, 10 years from now mm-hmm. when they are applying for jobs,
right. mm-hmm.
when they can go
right.
and say, this is something, you know, what's one unique thing about mm-hmm. you? Well, you know, when I was actually in my high school years, I learned Latin, and there have been many practical aspects that I apply on a daily basis from that education. And mm-hmm. again, it may be one sentence,
mm-hmm.
but to think about, that's just, it's one further way that students can set themselves apart from other candidates in a variety of different ways that will, in a practical way, could move the ball forward for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
that's exactly right.
I know you also, you touched on it very briefly, but you also do go into the culture of ancient Rome. And I believe there's a special celebration that you usually you do with your students. Is it in December? What is that celebration? So, I forgot the name.
Yeah, this one, you'll probably want to edit this one out. So Saturnalia is a festival in December, historically held over kind of the Christmas time. And we all have to talk to you about this another time, but we are not celebrating this one. Because it is,
I didn't know it was
an honor to the god Saturn. So we've had some discussion about how to pull this off and kind of Christianize it, and we'd rather stick with Christmas. So we're thinking about doing a Latin Mass.
a Latin Mass. Okay. Well, as long as they understand what Saturnalia is and what it represented, I think that that is important for the students because it was part of Roman culture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as classical educators, we're not afraid to expose students to other viewpoints, but we always want to bring them back, in our case, because we're Christian, to the truth of Scripture. And
That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. So when we teach the days of the week, every day of the week is named after a different god or planet or other celestial body. And so we get to show students this is how our days of the week are named, and it's after this god or goddess. Mm-hmm. And then pull it all back and go to Genesis 1 and Romans 1 and show how the Lord created everything in 7 days, in six, and rested on the seventh. Mm-hmm. And who is the creator versus, society worshiping the created things. Mm-hmm. And so it's really amazing to use Roman culture to illustrate to the students how this fits into a biblical context. Mm-hmm. and how our society really isn't that much different. Mm-hmm. When we study ancient Rome, we can see there's really nothing new under the sun, right? and it's also really fun to show the students how it ties into the gospel because of the references to Roman norms and Roman roads. And when Jesus walked along the way, that was built by Roman soldiers. Mm-hmm. And it's very, the kids do engage on the culture of it in a new way. It's mm-hmm. not just this dry, stale, oh, let's talk about Rome history. It's very, there's so much to it, much to unearth.
So excellent. Lindsay, it's been very interesting learning more about how you teach Liberty or how you teach Latin at Liberty and just the importance of it and the value of it and the depth that it brings to students. It's a gift. Thank you for being such an outstanding teacher and for joining us as a guest today. And thank you, Abigail.
Absolutely. Everyone, have a wonderful evening, and feel free to listen to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, or iTunes. Have a good night, everyone.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.